happened? What happened?
You got shot.
What's your name?
Wake up. What's your name?
Shit.
If there ever was a time, it would be now. That's all I'm saying. If there ever was a time to get on your feet, take it to the street. Cause you're the one that's getting played right now by the game they're playing. Come on, meet me down at the party park and say, oh, where are the you?
Hi, this is Cynthia McKinney, and I'm standing in for Cindy Sheehan. Our guest this week is Rocky Anderson, who founded the Justice Party and is running for president on the Justice Party line.
Well, Rocky Anderson, former mayor of Salt Lake, Utah, now the presidential candidate and leader of the Justice Party. Welcome to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox.
Well, thank you very much, and so great to talk to you again, Cynthia.
It's great to talk to you too, Rocky. We just had Super Tuesday, and of course, I know that there are some people who have been following with great interest what's happening over on the Republican side. But yesterday, we had something that I think many of us who are peace lovers would say is tragic. And that is, after the redistricting in Ohio, well, it was reapportionment first, where Ohio lost two House seats and due to loss of population, and the Ohio legislature pitted Dennis Kucinich and Marcy Kaptur against each other. Both of them have excellent records in one regard, but one of them has an excellent record with respect to peace and holding the executive branch accountable and standing up for the prerogatives of the Constitution and the Congress. And Dennis Kucinich lost. So what does that tell you, if anything, about the Democratic Party and that voice for peace and that voice for accountability within the Democratic Party? And maybe you could segue into why it is that you felt it was necessary to form a Justice Party.
Well, first of all, it is a tremendous loss to this nation that Dennis Kucinich will no longer be in the United States House of Representatives. The problem here is there were two very good candidates. They both have great progressive records. This whole thing came about because of Republican gerrymandering, and it happens all the time. It's a way to disenfranchise people. It's a way to manipulate electoral results. It's absolutely anti-democratic, and this is the kind of result that we see. And regardless of one's party affiliation, we all ought to be demanding that in every state there be independent redistricting commissions rather than allow people, because of their partisanship, to gerrymander and run people like Dennis Kucinich out of office. Dennis and I, we actually met the first time when he was in Salt Lake City and he was running for president, but the next time I saw him and we got to know each other a lot better, I stood with him in Washington, D.C. the day after he filed articles of impeachment against Vice President Cheney. And I was very proud to do that. Daniel Ellsberg was there, Cindy Sheehan, John Nichols. We held a press event, all of us talking about how vital it was for our nation that we stand up against the president, the vice president, others in power who lie to the American people, who march this country off to war on the basis of those lies, and then engage in such horrendous human rights violations. And then, of course, during these years, we saw wholesale illegal spying, every instance of which was a felony under federal law, laws passed to prevent this very kind of thing, and zero accountability. And now, under President Obama, a sense that there is never going to be accountability. President Obama says, in the face of war crimes, in the face of illegal surveillance, oh, let's just look forward and not backwards. Well, he's doing that for his own political purposes. Again, it's people in Washington protecting this elite group of people, both financially and politically, and saying that we really have a two-tiered system, both economically and under our criminal justice system. And there are those who are not going to be held to account, like the telecommunications companies that got a pass by Congress then. And that's when President Obama was a senator, and after promising this country that he would vote or he would stand in opposition and even filibuster to block legislation that would grant telecommunication companies immunity for their felonious conduct in participating in this illegal surveillance on American citizens. Then, after he won the Democratic nomination, President Obama voted for the legislation granting that immunity. Once again, voting to allow this narrow class of elite, powerful, wealthy elite in this country, these special favors. So Dennis Kucinich and others, including yourself, of course, when you were in Congress, stood against this kind of absolute evisceration of the rule of law, allowing this narrow elite to escape any accountability. And it really goes to the core of our Constitution. It goes to the core of what this country was built upon, the whole notion that it's liberty and justice for all, not just for some, for all, and that we're all to be held to account. So the segue you asked for, that's exactly why we started the Justice Party and a large part of why I'm running for president. We know the corrupting influence of money in our system. We know that that's what gets people special favors, and in the process, why the public, the vast majority of people, keep getting shafted by Congress and by those who occupy the White House, regardless of their political party affiliation.
Well, you mentioned impeachment. Has President Obama committed impeachable offenses?
If there were the political will, I think those kinds of offenses could be proven. And by the way, it doesn't require that they be criminal offenses, although the Constitution uses the language high crimes and misdemeanors. It was made very clear during the Constitutional Convention and in the state ratification hearings that what they were talking about, what our Constitution provides, is that there be abuses of power. In fact, there was one specific reference during a state ratification convention that lying to Congress would be enough, and certainly lying to the American people and lying us into war would be enough. So I think that President Obama, in saying that there was to be no accountability for people who violated not only international treaties like the Geneva Conventions, like the Convention Against Torture, but also our domestic laws, the War Crimes Act of 1996, the federal anti-torture statute. There's a reason that Congress passes those laws, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. The president is not a dictator. He's not supposed to be this tyrant that can just say, oh, these people that they have committed all these felonies, let's just give them a pass because it would be really politically inconvenient for me, for us, to assert the rule of law in these cases. So I think that any time you give someone a pass who is among the political elite, that certainly needs to come to an end. I also think that the continuation of these wars and going in, for instance, committing our military to what happened in Libya, although we may disagree on whether going into Libya was ultimately the right thing or the wrong thing, one thing that we can all agree upon is that it was an absolute violation of the War Power Clause of the United States Constitution. If we're engaging in hostile armed conflict, that requires the United States Congress, not just the president. It's not for the president to decide. It's for Congress to decide whether we're going to go to war. That's the sole prerogative of Congress. And President Obama, you heard him before AIPAC the other day as he was down. I mean, it sounded like he was genuflecting to AIPAC, letting him know that he's going to do anything it takes to satisfy this powerful lobby, regardless of what Israel does.
Well,
and
he talked about
he would commit, he would use armed aggression against Iran if it looked like they were building up nuclear weapons. That's not his prerogative. That's the prerogative of the United States Congress under the Constitution.
Well, what do you make of Eric Holder's defense of targeted assassination?
Unbelievable. The Due Process Clause of the United States Constitution says that government may not deprive anyone of their life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Due process is not somebody in the intelligence community or in the administration pointing the finger to somebody and saying, hey, this is a really bad guy, or he might do bad things in the future. He needs to be killed, and especially a United States citizen. Anwar al-Awlaki, a United States citizen, was killed in cold-blooded murder with premeditation by the United States. And that was authorized, of course, by President Obama, who included his name on an assassination list. What most people don't know, and I don't think Eric Holder addressed this the other day, about 2 weeks after Anwar al-Awlaki was killed by an unmanned drone, his 16-year-old son, also a United States citizen, was killed with premeditation. So how do we stand by as people of principle, as patriotic citizens who believe in the Constitution, who believe in the proud traditions of this nation up until these past 10 years, and allow these things to go on? We're seeing the absolute transformation of our republic with the courts stepping aside under the guise of the so-called state secrets doctrine. And the absurdity of that is the perpetrator, the executive branch, is allowed to come in when their actions are challenged and tell the courts that they need to dismiss the actions because to move forward would mean the disclosure of important state secrets. And then the courts do it. That's not the way our system of government was set up. We're supposed to have three co-equal branches of government with a check on abuses of power by each of the branches. And if the courts are no longer able to provide that check on abuses of power, including illegal conduct by the executive branch, our republic is gone. We no longer have a constitutional system of separation of powers. We have an imperial presidency that really can be said now to be a tyranny. And I don't mean to use that word in any exaggerated sense, but when one branch of government and ultimately one person can exercise the power to allow people to violate the rule, the law, with impunity, and himself violate the rule of law to violate the Constitution, that is the very definition of tyranny.
Well, Rocky, you're right to point out the 16-year-old son of al-Awlaki. So one could say the 16-year-old child yesterday, it could be one of us or both of us tomorrow. What do you think about that?
Well, I would have thought that was absurd, just beyond comprehension, 10 years ago. But now we've seen the steady erosion of the Constitution, the steady erosion of everyone's rights. We see now a government that goes around the world kidnapping and torturing people, holding them indefinitely. And now, just a few months ago, the vast majority of Congress, at the request of President Obama, and he made the request in 2009 for these powers, and now he's signed the legislation into law, the National Defense Authorization Act, which allows our government to point to anyone, including a United States citizen, and say, in my judgment, this could be the president, in my judgment, this person is a belligerent. He poses a danger to our country, never having to prove the case, never having to go to the courts for warrants or anything else, no charges, no right to trial, no right of legal representation, no right of habeas corpus, and that person can be put away, detained for the rest of his or her life? That's not the United States of America. That's not our Constitution. That's not our nation's proud legacy. This is taking us to the day of the Soviet Union and the Stalags. We're doing now exactly what tyrannies were doing around the world, from whom we were so proud to distinguish ourselves, and now our government has the power to do this, not only to people all around the world, but to we, the American people. It's an absolute outrage. And people who aren't outraged, I don't think either understand the values, or they don't understand what's happening in this country that's so undermining of those basic American values. We cannot allow this to happen.
Rocky, the Congress and the Senate, in particular, under unanimous consent, but the Congress passed with only three dissenting votes, Ron Paul's being one of them, the other two votes were Republicans, voting against legislation that would allow the Department of Homeland Security to designate a national security event and thereby preclude the First Amendment from being exercised. That is, in terms of freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom to protest. Now, these events, so designated events, can take place anywhere in the country at any time. Did you ever think that you would see a time when the First Amendment would be compromised in such a way?
No, I, and by legislation that is so unbelievably vague. I mean, there are so many things that one might do and never know that they're in violation of this federal legislation. If there aren't people in Congress, especially when First Amendment rights are up for grabs, that they can't be more careful, that they won't be more careful about letting the American people know exactly what constitutes a violation of federal law, and then to chill, and that's what vagueness like this accomplishes. It chills First Amendment freedom of expression. If you don't know that you can hold up a banner to let someone see, and by the way, this covers anyone who has social or Secret Service protection, anybody. So Vice President Cheney can go to Canada, and people can go hear him speak for a fee, and he can sign their books, and people can be outside protesting. And there's great video available on YouTube of these Canadians who are so upset about the war crimes committed by President Cheney. Well, in this country, here he did all these things in our name, and we would not be able to even show up to speak out against what former Vice President Cheney did, the war crimes committed by him and at his behest. It is just simply incredible that we, the American people, aren't out in the streets. I mean, if this were happening, can you imagine in so many other countries where their government, their individual freedoms and liberties were being completely whittled away by our Congress and by the administration, and we're sitting back quietly just accepting this, and much of our mainstream media is giving such short shrift to this destruction of these important rights and liberties that have been in place ever since our Constitution and the Bill of Rights were enacted up until this past decade. And you know, Cynthia, one thing that breaks my heart, and I think it's so dangerous, and that is young people who have come of age in the last 10 years, this is the nation they've come to know. We're a country that on the basis of lies goes out and commits wars of aggression against other nations that pose no danger to us. These are the kinds of crimes, by the way, that we prosecuted people for and had them convicted at the Nuremberg Tribunal. That we're the kind of nation that goes around the world kidnapping, disappearing, and torturing or having tortured people, and in some instances people who had no connection at all to terror, like the Canadian citizen Maher Arar, German citizen Khaled Al-Masri. And now we're a nation where even United States citizens can be taken away up to the entirety of their lives without charges, without trial. This is so counter to the United States that I grew up in, the heritage of this country, what it is that our founders thought they were helping to create. And it's time that we, the American people, say no more. We're not going to sit back and allow those in elective office whittle away what's very best about this great country.
Rocky, I received an email from a friend who just listed out, while all of these tremendous things are going on in terms of the erosion of the ideals of our country, but on one of the major news sites, this email listed what the top quote-unquote news stories were, and it was all about, you know, what celebrity was doing what with another celebrity and, you know, all that sort of stuff, and nothing of the political and economic substance that is really driving the way that we have to live nowadays. So my question to you, well, first of all, I have to put a plug in for Cindy Sheehan's soapbox, because you don't get that kind of palaver here. There are real questions with real people on real issues that affect the way we have to live in this country. So as our time begins to wind down, what I would like to ask you is, how do you move forward with the Justice Party in face of this kind of absolute neglect of substance on the part of our media?
Well, that's part of why it is so vital that we're doing what we're doing. And by the way, my website is voterocky.org. I encourage everyone to take a look at it. We've got a lot on the issues. I've got a position paper about torture that I think people would find of interest. We also submitted a demand for restoration of the rule of law and accountability. And we submitted that to Eric Holder, as well as the United States Congress, President Obama, United Nations Committee Against Torture, And you wouldn't believe the letter we got back from Eric Holder, or on his behalf, basically saying, please know that the Attorney General takes these matters seriously. Thank you for your interest.
Wow.
It was unbelievable. So that's the kind of thing that we're trying to get out during this campaign, raising people's consciousness, letting people know that they are empowered. In fact, we're not only empowered as the American people, we're the only way that we're going to bring about change. We can't just get excited around election time, elect these same people into office that are happy to whittle away our rights and let it be. We need to let them know that there's going to be a huge political cost for anybody that helps dismantle our republic and the rights and freedoms that mean so much to the American people. We need to let them. It's our role as American citizens. It's our job. It's our responsibility. And fortunately, we also have the great opportunity to be able to do this. We still have freedoms to speak out. We still have freedoms to take on, especially through social media. I think an incredibly democratized means of media. And we can bring about change if only we have the will to do it. If we don't get out of our couches, if we just sit around and gripe about it and watch our favorite TV programs, get so mesmerized, as you were referring to celebrities and sports and all of that, then we know that the forces of oppression are going to have their way with us. And it's not, once they do, we're not going to be able to unwind it. Every generation has to remain diligent. We all have to continue the fight for our freedoms. And we're not doing a very good job right now as a nation. We all need to play whatever role we can. And one way that people can do it is to support the Justice Party, support my campaign, and make it clear to those in power that even if we lose this election, that there is enough concern in this country, that there is a great enough political movement that we've made it clear we will not put up with this anymore. And we demand a restoration of the rule of law. We demand a restoration of our core constitutional values. And we're not going to let up until that happens.
For our listeners who want to know more about Rocky Anderson, they can go to voterocky.org. Do you have any appearances coming up?
Well, I just finished a week in California, both up in the Bay Area and down in San Diego and Los Angeles. I'll be there again in April. We are planning a trip sometime, I hope in April, Washington, D.C. and New York. And we would like, if we get the resources, and by the way, we're limiting contributions to $100 per person, because what we want to see is a mass movement. We want to see a lot of people, and none of them having to contribute very much. Nobody is going to be contributing thousands of dollars. We're asking that everybody do what they can and help out in this campaign. But if we have the resources, we're hoping that we can take this campaign on the road, get into communities all across the country, and do everything we can, again, utilizing social media. As we saw throughout much of the Arab world, while they were overthrowing their dictatorships, we too can overthrow the dictatorship in this country, and it's the dictatorship, by and large, of the corrupting influence of money in our system.
Well, thank you so much, Rocky. Do you have any concluding words that you would like to leave with our listeners?
No, I really appreciate, Cynthia, all that you've done, all that Cindy has done, getting the word out. That's what it's all about, and not having to pay money to do it. Candidates ought to have free and equal radio and television time in this country. The newspapers ought to be covering these things. Can you imagine if I were able to get on the stage with whoever the Republican nominee is and Barack Obama, how different the conversation would be, the kinds of issues that would be on the table, the kinds of things that matter so much to the American people that President Obama didn't even discuss in his last State of the Union address? He didn't talk about government initiatives like the WPA or CCC to put millions of people to work and rebuild this nation's infrastructure. Can you imagine how different the dialogue would be? And in engaging in that, how different things would turn out for this country, because those in power would see that there really is a demand for major change. And even those like Tom Friedman and Michael Mandelbaum, who wrote the recently published book, That Used to Be Us, they conclude that a third party or independent candidate putting these kinds of issues on the table can make a major difference down the road, regardless of whether that third party or independent candidate ends up prevailing in any particular election.
Well, we've been tortured through at least 20 nationally televised debates among the Republican candidates. The least we could have is one or more, but at least one nationally televised debate among all of our presidential candidates. That's not asking too much.
And that is called for by democracy. We don't have a democracy if we're not hearing alternative points of view. And I don't think most people know it, but the Presidential Debate Commission was actually a sole creation of the Republican and Democratic parties. They control it, and we'll never see a third party or independent candidate on the stage until the American people demand it. And they hijacked that debate away from the League of Women Voters, who organized and held these debates in an independent fashion, in a fashion that really served our democracy. And once again, the duopoly of the Republican and Democratic parties, they have stifled our democracy.
Well, thank you so much, Rocky. A candidate whose motto is, if everyone does a little, then nobody has to do too much.
Thank you a lot, Cynthia. Really appreciate it. Good talking to you.
Okay, thank you, Rocky.
What happened? What's your name?
What's your name?
Wake up, what's your name?
Shit. If there ever was a time, it would be now. That's all I'm
saying. Well, there you've had it. Directly from Justice Party founder Rocky Anderson, former mayor of Salt Lake City, Utah. Next week, tune in for another edition of Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. Cindy is out and about in Ireland, and I will stand in for her again next week. Until next time, have a great week.
Where are the youth we need to now? If there ever was a time, it would be now to make the masters see this. If there ever was a time to get downtown and get park. And News Corp says you don't have a plan. Well, sit down, man. I'll tell you again. The plan's to stand together up to green. And a tear gas can in a veteran's face won't change the case.